thinking about the same thing that a lot of everybody else has been thinking about. I've been thinking about healing. Healing applies to individuals, congregations of people, and even nations. And if you're in need of healing, that means that you're hurting or have been wounded in some way or are sick in some way. I've got to thinking about different kinds of healing that's needed. You know, the person that's not sick doesn't need medicine. And there are hidden things, though, that we're sick of that we don't know about. That's only diagnosed by examination from someone that can see things or interpret things that we don't know about. I think of the scientist that looks under the microscope and finds the problem with the blood that you don't know. I think about the person that's got an ailment of mind and doesn't really know why until they go to someone who's trained about that kind of thing, and they get to the bottom of it, and the people say, oh, that's why. There are different kinds of hurt and wounds. There's the obvious that we, our natural eye can see when we break our leg or get in a car wreck and have blood on us, or other things like organ failure and other tissue damage that we may have. Then there's the mental kind of hurt and healing that we have. The big ones are the schizophrenia, depression, narcissism. That's being absorbed in yourself and thinking it's all about you. Those things are, then you have dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that, that people are really in bad need of healing. And we have medicine that can help those things, but nothing really cures it, does it? And then there's the kind of healing that is unseen. That kind of healing is a spiritual kind. And I think everything that needs healing of a spiritual nature comes under this big heading of sin and guilt. Those are things that other people can't see. Things that happen in your own mind and in your own heart. How many of you are willing today to stand up and confess to everyone every thought you've had that's sinful? How many of you are willing to confess in front of everyone your sins and what you're struggling with right now, what you struggle with on a daily basis? How many of you are willing to confess to me or anybody else here all of the things that you struggle with in your life? You need medicine. And I don't have that kind of medicine for you. That medicine only comes from the good physician. He's the only one that knows your problems, and he's the only one that can diagnose your problems. He's the only one that can set you down and tell you this is your problem. He's the only one that can examine you and let you know where your problem is. And that in the scripture is called conviction. Now, when you take the remedy, that's called, When you take the remedy, it's called repentance. That's what it's called. You know, I go back and I think about God's mercy. God's mercy to Adam. You know, he was merciful to him in shutting up the tree of life to him. Did y'all know that that tree of life was open for Adam to partake of? God said you can freely eat of it. But he forbade him to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God only shut up the way of the tree of life to Adam after he had fallen. He was no longer had the right or the authority to reach up and partake of its fruits after the fall. And God in His mercy, and I believe this, because the Bible says it, that if he hadn't partaken the tree of life after he had sinned, he would have remained in that sinful state for all eternity. You think about it. God in His mercy shut that tree of life up to Adam because something had to change in order for Adam to be able to partake of that fruit again. We see evidences of this all through the scripture. We see that tree of life is for not only healing but sustenance of life and giving of life and sustenance of life. He wasn't just supposed to eat of that tree of life once in the garden, was it? That was something that was available for him to partake of daily. We're going to talk about the tree of life a little bit later, but I want you to think about the healing that's associated with that tree of life and the sustenance that it gives. David talked about it being a health to our navel and marrow to our bones. Not necessarily particularly the tree of life, but talking about God. Now that flaming sword kept the way of the tree of life, forbidding any sinful creature to go up and partake of it in that state. So man had a grievous wound at that point, didn't he? A grievous wound that he couldn't recover from. And that wound was called sin. We see this on down as God had delivered the Israelites out of the bondage of Pharaoh and of Egypt with a mighty hand. Blessed them to cross the Red Sea. And He delivered them from seemingly circumstances that were beyond any relief from. In a hard situation up against the Red Sea, when they had Pharaoh pursuing them in the Red Sea in front, and God caused the waters to part, and He led them forth across on dry shod. And He told them to stand still and see the mercy and the power of God. And so they came across the Red Sea, and God delivered them. He caused water to come out of a rock and blessed them with the manna in circumstances that were very bleak in the people's eyes. God blessed them with those kind of deliverances, and yet they still murmured and complained and spoke against God and against Moses, saying, "You brought us out here to die in this wilderness." And after all these things, God showed them how wonderful God was and how many times He had blessed them in their lives, and they forgot about Him and began to murmur and complain. And you know what God did? God sent the fiery serpents. Who sent the fiery serpents? Who sent the fiery serpents? God did. God sent the fiery serpents. Why did He send the fiery serpents? Because the people murmured and complained. God's not pleased with that. He's not. And then, but you know, God sent the serpents, but God also sent the cure, didn't He? He also sent the cure. God said, "I wound and I heal." Right? Y'all remember that? I can't remember where it's at. I didn't even look it up, but that's a good one. He said, "I wound and I heal." It's in Isaiah somewhere. I want to read this in Numbers chapter 21. It says, there we go. And they journeyed in verse 4, 21 and 4 Numbers. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Y'all get that? Their way was difficult. Their way was in the wilderness. But God sustained them in their wilderness. Now let's remember why they were in the wilderness. Y'all remember why they were even in the wilderness? Was because they didn't believe God.
Right.
They didn't believe God would sustain them. They didn't believe God would drive out the giants of the land and the inhabitants of the land that God promised to them. He never intended for His children to have to eat manna. He intended for them to eat, to enter into the land, to believe Him, enter into the land by faith, and eat of the good of the land flowing with milk and honey. He never intended for them to have to eat manna, but He still provided and protected them even in the wilderness. And they began to be discouraged in the way. You know, that was a self-inflicted thing that they had on them, wasn't it? Their wandering around in the wilderness was self-inflicted. It wasn't something God put on them. It was something that they put on themselves. Now, He keeps going and He says, well, and the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." How many times do we come to church and hear the same thing over and over and over and think, "I've heard all that before," and it not be a nourishment to us? How many times have we not rejoiced at the blessings that God's given us. How many times? I freely admit to you that that happens a lot to me. How that I come and don't see the beauty of the simplicity of the message of Christ. And it's not about flowery words. It's not about someone getting up and stomping around and talking with a very loud voice. It's not about that. It's about the power and mercy of God, and that we ought to be thankful for what He's given us, whether it's manna or whether we're living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, he says that they said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And that's all there's said about the serpent of brass. That's all that's said in the scriptures about it as far as the initial Old Testament account. Did you notice what happened? God sent the hurt. Then God sent the remedy. But you know what? He said, if anyone's bitten by it, and when they're bitten by it, if they beheld it, they'll be healed. Do y'all see that serpent? And you look at the medical symbol. What is it? It's a pole, and it has two serpents going up. And on, it's on every ambulance. It's a symbol of healing. This is not to make those children of Israel children of Israel. This is to make those children of Israel realize where their help comes from, and it's healing in that thing. Healing in that help. God sent He sent the wound, and He sent the cure. But you know, it was up to the people to look and to behold and to see. It was up to them. But you know, some of God's children are stubborn, aren't they? They'll be, I'm sure that some of these people, I'm not sure about it, but it could happen, that some of them would be bit and not look because of their stubborn pride. But I'll tell you this, I bet that after those folks died and that serpent was raised up from Moses, I guarantee you all them mamas kept a whole lot of closer track on their children about where they went. Don't get out of the eye shot of this serpent. I bet they moved a little bit closer to it, don't you think? I bet they wouldn't let their kids, let's say that flagpole's the serpent, I bet they wouldn't let their kids go on the other side of that hill and play. I bet they made them play really close to it. Wouldn't you agree? Would you let your kids run and play unsupervised all the way out? Well, we're God's children, and He don't want us to play outside the eye shot of where the healing is. Right? Now, Jesus come. God's even telling us about His kingdom even here in Numbers. He's telling us that in my kingdom, and another thing about this serpent is that it was, first of all, the serpents were not sent to the Amorites, the Moabites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, or the Hittites. The serpent didn't bite them. And the cure wasn't for them. The cure will only do you any good if you have the wound. Right? Now, so I see this biting of the serpents as the bitings of sin and the guilt and the famine that sin brings in our lives. There's healing for that, folks. If your soul is sick, you can find that healing in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus comes on the scene and he sets up his kingdom. He lets us know about how it operates and how if we're going to navigate around in this kingdom, we've got to love our neighbor like ourselves. We've got to be weak in order to be strong. We've got, if we want to be exalted, we've got to abase ourselves. We've got to love our neighbor. We've got to esteem others better than ourselves. All these kingdom principles Jesus established. And in that kingdom, God gives us an example of this in John chapter 3, and he gives a further explanation of it to Nicodemus. Turn to John chapter 3. Now, Christ had just gotten finished talking to Nicodemus about being born again and how it's impossible for a natural man to get this spiritual birth on his own. It's like the wind. I love preaching outside because I can see the elements. Jesus talked about the natural elements. He used natural things to explain spiritual things. He told Nicodemus, being born again is like the wind. No man knows where it comes from or where it goes. He said, but that's how a man is born again. It comes by, I can't make the wind blow and I can't keep it from blowing. Over the past few days, I would have kept it from blowing. I was doing some things that it was a great botheration to me. But I couldn't stop it. And I can't make it. I can't fabricate it and I can't stop it. Jesus says, Nicodemus, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? He says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And then he says something very strange but wonderful to me. He says in verse 14 of John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we've got a comparison here. Jesus is using the illustration of Moses lifting up that serpent that he made in the wilderness because the people were wounded for their healing. Right? And Jesus says, just in the same manner that was, this is what the Son of Man must be lifted up for. And he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And you remember under the Old Testament, he said, if he looked on the serpent, he'd be healed. This healing right here comes from belief. Y'all get that? All they had to do was look on the serpent and be healed that way. But now, it's on belief. And I tell you, Jesus, this is not a call to a dead sinner to come and believe in Christ. This is talking, an invitation, just like it was back over there. The brazen serpent wasn't given to the Hivites, Jebusites, and all them. It was given to the children of Israel. And this is given to God's children, that if you've been bitten by sin, you believe on the Son of God, and you'll be healed. This is a gospel healing right here, people. This is a healing for the bitings of sin in your life. This is a healing and the believing not only that Jesus is the Son of God, but as the Son of God, He performs all the duties that He came to perform as the Son of God. Y'all get that? How His offices had to be executed perfectly. And the belief that Jesus came, He said, I came that they might have life. Do you believe that Jesus came that you might have life? That doesn't mean might like it might or might not happen. That means might as in a mighty way. That they mightily would have life. And if Jesus gave you life, that's a mighty life. That's a life of might. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus not only born us again and we'll be in glory with Him, but He said that my life is going to show them how to live, and that that life is the abundant life, and you're enjoying eternal things right now. Now, He keeps on going, and He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That means that when they looked on the brazen serpent of brass, they didn't die. Right? They kept on breathing. Right? And this is the remedy to a sin-sick soul. If you are a sinner and God's child, I'm telling you, you're perishing. I don't mean you're going to hell, but you're destroying your life. And I tell you, the Bible doesn't make a whole lot of distinction between it. He says, if you're on that road, you need to turn around and go the other way. That's called repentance. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm telling you what, John later on says that he that believeth not is condemned already. This is not an invitation for a dead sinner that's dead in his sins, that has not been quickened by the Spirit of God, to get quickened by the Spirit of God. This is an invitation for a child of God to act like a child of God. To take the leaves of the tree of life and partake of the fruit of the tree of life. I tell you, this is a blessing. God has given us so great of blessings to enjoy in our lives today. How much are we partaking of them? You know, I don't eat a whole lot of bread now. It's not because I don't like it. It's because I just don't. But you know, sometimes that bread, when we do buy some, because I don't eat it, it gets moldy. And it goes bad. So I don't use it. And I squander it. How many times, or how much, has God given us in our lives that we've squandered and not used to our good? It happens a lot. I tell you, this is a great promise right here. Did you know what we're doing right now is just a small portion of eternity? We're hearing good news from a far country, right, from our heavenly country. And do you know, when people give, that this is what we call or part of the earnest of our inheritance. You know, when someone buys a house, they put down earnest money, right? And if I buy a house in America, I don't use Tanzanian shillings for the earnest money, do I? I use American dollars because that's what the economy calls for. I don't use something else, some other form of payment. So in the same way that everything that God gives us in His kingdom is consistent with itself. Do y'all understand that? How that the kingdom is going to operate the exact same way in glory that Jesus said it's ought to operate down here. The only problem is there are sinners operating in it now, and up there, there will be no sinners operating in it. There'll be no sin, no unjustness, no unrighteousness, no defiling, no tears, no crying, no nothing like that. We'll be able to praise Him as we ought. We'll be able to see His face without being utterly destroyed. We'll be able to see Him in His glory, in the fullness of His glory. But now, we're sinners and we're struggling in this life trying to figure out what it is in the kingdom. God didn't leave us in the dark as far as how to enjoy the abundant life. He told us, if any man would follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. How many of y'all have ever denied yourself? I mean, I have a few times. How many of y'all are in the habit of denying yourself? I'm certainly not. Now, I'm not in the habit of denying myself. I don't like it. You know why? Because it satisfies my flesh. But let's turn that around. Think about how wonderful it would be if we denied ourselves every time and followed Christ. How much healing do you think there would be? It'd be a lot of healing. Well, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to read a little bit. It's the last chapter in the book. And this is right after John had, it had been revealed to John about what the heavenly city looks like. I'm not going to take time to read all of the wonderful attributes of that heavenly city. But I want us to get the big picture here, how that the angel took him up and showed him all about heaven, all about that city of gold and all that. And he says in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." You know, we take the water of life freely now, don't we? We can. It's available to us now, right? The water of life. It didn't originate here. It's up there. Amen? The water of life originates from glory, doesn't it? "Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Where does the healing of nations come from? It comes from the only source of healing that there is. The only remedy for the healing of nations comes from above. You know how the world treats its wounds? How many of y'all, if you've got a bad cut, would pour acid on it to help it? I mean, I wouldn't. It just corroded more, wouldn't it? That's how the world treats its wounds. It doesn't look to the source. It uses the wrong medicine for the wrong kind of problem. But the world doesn't contain the remedy, you see. They keep trying to develop medicines to fix their wounds, and they never work. They always make it worse. The healing of nations comes from the tree of life. That means that, and he's talking about the healing of nations now. The nations won't need healing up there. It's talking about it being the source of healing for the nations right now. Just like the tree of life, the water of life, it all originates up there and it's useful down here. If our nation wants to be healed, the Bible is very plain on where it comes from. If our congregations need healing, God's very clear about where it comes from. If you as an individual are hurting on the inside and sin is devouring your soul, I can point you to the tree of life for your healing. I can't heal you, but there's balm in that tree. Now, he keeps on going. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. See, he's describing the heavenly city, right? And they need no candle, neither light of it, for the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed them to me. And he said, don't do it. Don't, for I'm thy fellow servant. And he comes on down, and verse 22 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Y'all listen to this. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. That tree of life is for the healing of nations. It's for the healing of individuals. Do you need healing today? Do you need your sin-sick soul have the balm applied to it and wonder why it's not being done? I can tell you probably why is because you may not be doing his commandments. And that right there, you know, us as Americans, we're big on our rights, aren't we? We're really big on our rights. I've got a right to do that. I've got a right to do it. That's not really the attitude that the Bible uses it in. The attitude that the Bible uses it in is that you have the authority and the privilege partake of that tree of life. Now let me ask you, do the wicked and the unrighteous have a right to reach up and partake of that tree of life and its healing properties? Do they? No, they don't. Let's read it again and see how he words it. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Are those people that don't do his commandments, do they have a right to eat of the tree of life? Do they? The Bible indicates they don't. Now, again, that's not talking about being able to go to glory now. That's talking about healing. Because if you're not doing his commandments, you're not really living after the kingdom principles, are you? So, God sends the wound, and He also sends the cure. He always does. Blessed are they that do His commandments. It didn't say know His commandments, did it? That's hitting me, just like it's hitting y'all. It's not just good enough that I know what His commandments are. The Pharisees knew that, didn't they? But they didn't do it, did they? They didn't apply them to themselves, did they? No, they didn't. This is a call for God's children to rise up, repent, do His commandments, and be healed. And He says that they may have the right, or the liberty even, and privilege to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify you these things in the churches. In the churches. That's where these things are supposed to be testified. Do you know that you have the cure for the, we have the cure for the nations? And it's the message of Jesus Christ. That's the cure. Now, it won't cure the wicked in the nations, but it'll cure the sin-sick soul in the nations. That means outside of here. Outside of you. It's what will cure this nation. It's what will cure God's people in this nation. God blesses nations. Did you know that He said, even I would not destroy Sodom if there were 10 righteous. 10 righteous would have saved Sodom, but there weren't. Think about that. How many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21 people here today. Sodom would have been saved if you would have, if we all would have been there. Hopefully, we'd be counted righteous. Hopefully, we would have been counted righteous. God would have spared even that city for just a small number as that. So do you think what you have in your mind and in your heart is mighty? It's mighty to God. It's mighty to you. And it's mighty in your life. Jesus is mighty to save, and He's mighty to heal. He's got that, and that's available for us, folks. And as long as we're consistent with the principles set forth of His kingdom. Remember, the balm He's got comes from the tree of life. And if we want a right and liberty and allowance to approach unto it, its leaves for our healing, and we've got to do His commandments. And I don't think that's necessarily only the commandments of the Ten Commandments. I think that's the commandments that He set forth of His kingdom. How we ought to love one another. How we ought to not shut up our bowels of compassion to the hungry and to the poor, to the sick. You know, the best gift that you have is not your money. Most of that's not gifted to you anyway. Most of that's stuff you earn. I remember one time I was in Africa preaching, and they have so many needs. They're so impoverished. And they constant, well, not constantly, but a lot of them ask me for money. And especially the first few trips until they figured out what I'm fixing to tell you. And we have to decline them all the time, saying, look, we didn't come here for this. And after several declinings of being able, because we just didn't have the money to do that. After several of the declinings, one of the, who's now a pastor, comes up and he addressed the church and he said, these men have come here from America bringing us the best gift. Peter and John, when they came to the young man, the 33-year-old man, I think it was, at the Gate Beautiful, he says, they told him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that man walked. He not only walked, it says he leaping up stood, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, and he said, these men are not bringing us silver and gold, but they're bringing us the best gift, the gift of the truth of God's Word. He said, let us hold on to it as if it were the most precious thing, because it is. Friends, what you have, what we have, is precious. It's more precious than that ointment that the sister broke the alabaster box for to anoint Jesus with. Precious than that. And the only way for us to receive the healing from above is to break all the precious things that we have here and pour them out for Jesus' sake. If your soul is sick, you may come and join this little band of believers today. May the Lord bless us this week, keep us free from the coronavirus and every other virus and sickness and plague that plagues this earth. May we all conduct our lives with godly wisdom and godly fear. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.